listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom, and I am lucky today. I am fortunate every day, very fortunate to have surrounded myself with a gifted team of coaches and other people who help us and help you to work through your lives and work through your marital issues. Last podcast, I talked a little bit about myself, talked a little bit about how I came to be this place, and over the next few weeks, I have the good fortune of interviewing my coaches. One, I want you to get to know them, and two, they all have some valuable information to share with you. Today, we start that off with Debbie Rivera. Debbie has been a coach with me for a number of years, since the beginning of when I had coaches. And Debbie is going to share a little with you about how she got to this place and also some great information about some wisdom she has for every couple that comes through. At the end, we'll tell you a little bit about how to contact Debbie if that makes sense for you. But first, let's just get to know Debbie. So let's jump into the interview with Debbie Rivera. Debbie, thank you so much for being here. I'm excited to talk with you because I'm always excited to talk with my coaches, but I'm excited to have you share with other people, to have people who listen in on the podcast to get to know you better and to hear some about your perspective. So let's start off this little conversation with a little bit about how you got to here. How'd you become a coach? How'd you come into the Save the Marriage world? Just kind of how did you get to here?
It started inside of me, just wanting to be more, do more, learn more about myself. And I was so interested in the coaching philosophy versus the therapy or the counseling philosophy. And so I started this whole coaching program and just really got immersed in it. And I learned a lot about myself. And then, of course, I had the good fortune to find you because you reached out to the same place where I had my coaching certifications. And so then you and I spoke, and I was just so much in alignment with you and your philosophy. And as we talked, I thought, boy, what a great fortunate thing for me to have somebody that I can see eye to eye on and understands and looks at things the same way. So that was a tremendous benefit to me in my life.
Yeah, that was right at the beginning when I was building a team. You were right there at the beginning.
I was. Yeah. I watched it all from the very start.
Painful starts. Well, listen, most of the time people get into kind of the coaching helping world because of some place for them. What was that place for you that kind of turned it on for you?
I think even in my own marriage, you know, there were things that we were struggling with, and also family, you know, just kind of family dynamics and just trying to find a way to sort through all that and kind of be, you know, up and the person that I really wanted to grow to be and kind of let some of that go away. And boy, some of the coaching that you receive and the things that you really talk about, dig in, like your philosophies about everything from money to kids to, I mean, you name it. So you kind of start really thinking about why you're the way you are and embracing that in a better way. And it just started applying some of the things in my life, and it just made sense.
I find that most of the times the coaches are people who love to learn themselves and have often needed to and wanted to apply the knowledge to themselves. They had to figure something out. Most of the time when people decide that they want to help others, it's because they found help and that they have had something that lit them up, that got them on fire. And so it's always interesting what that is for you. Sounds like for you, it's somewhere along the way realizing that what the marriage you had could be stronger. It just needed some extra information. And that extra information then starts that process of going, okay, how can I do this for others?
That's exactly right.
So what do you see your role as a coach? What is that role? What do you do with couples? How do you understand that for yourself? What do you do as a coach?
The first thing I do is I never put everybody in the same box. I feel like every couple has a different dynamic and a different situation. So for me, it's trying to understand that dynamic, that situation that they have and what things they have faced along the way, how they started, you know, what's happened, how many kids, you know, just kind of looking at a big picture. That's what I tell them. I want to look at the big picture of your life and your marriage and see it from your perspective, your spouse's perspective, kind of understanding that. And for me, it's like puzzle pieces. I want to put this puzzle back together because it's gotten distorted and it's not the same. And of course, I never want them to go back to the same. The idea for me is, how do we go forward? Just like you say, create something new. Mm-hmm. And so it's with that in the back of my mind. Like, I'm always thinking, how can I help them create something new? Because this isn't working. And this is where they are.
Yeah, I find that there's an interesting dichotomy that it's hard to explain to people that because a lot of times people will come to us and say, well, I'll bet you've never seen this before. And at this point, neither you nor I get too many times when we haven't seen it before.
That's so true.
And yet they are all unique situations in how they get there. There are some dynamics underneath it that are cut across every relationship. And yet that relationship is different. And so it's always interesting that you take your data set, your understanding and knowledge that fits for anywhere. And then you have to figure out how it fits there. And so you're starting with their story is always an important part. As you move forward, how do you see that process lay out for people who are coaching with you?
The first step I always feel like is I have to get that person to be at a stronger place, just kind of, you know, they're panicked, they're in fear mode, they're concerned, it's affecting every area of their life. And so they're just trying to find the solution. So the first thing is kind of, you know, help them be at a good place, the best place possible. And that's really the place I start. And from there, it's just chipping away at the connection and trying to help them connect again and find their way back to each other. And from there, you know, that leads to bringing in that other piece of what can we do different? Mm-hmm. What patterns should we break? What do we need to do to really make this the relationship where we're both getting what we really want mm-hmm. from it? So that's the way I go about it.
Yeah, so it starts with the individual making sure that they have the resources to actually move forward through the process of moving forward to the place where they have something that's new and that both of them are going to treasure.
Correct. And at the same time, I want them to feel that they have a safe support system with me, mm-hmm. that everything we talk about, it's safe. They can, you know, vent out what they're really feeling so we can get to the heart of it. And that's important to me, that they know that they have that support system with me, too.
Good. Great. So I'm just wondering, given all that, what do you most love about the coaching? What do you most love to do? Because we deal with some pretty difficult situations. So what is it that rewards you about that process?
It's a challenge for me because I put my helping, you know, I come from this frame of reference of helping them, of wanting to help them. So when they share with me what's happening, right away I go into, okay, this is what they need. This is what would work. And so my frame of reference is coming, you know, directly from whatever their situation is to understanding it and finding a way that that's possible to make things better. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, you're in one sense holding the hope for them, but in another way, actualizing what can happen. And what I think is interesting is how many people say to me, you know, I can't do coaching because we're so bad. And they often describe their situation, and I'm going, that's exactly why you need coaching, you know, because you're feeling the desperation. And a lot of times they don't see a path forward, and so it's important for them to see that path as they're walking along with you. Are there some moments that you kind of go, okay, now we're in the zone? Are there some times when you know that?
Absolutely, and that's really I think that's the other energizing part of it for me is knowing that we do get to that place and it doesn't always come about the same way, but you're right. I have had that experience just today with somebody that we've been working for a while and I can see it starting to click and mm-hmm. it's starting to go and they're in the zone. And I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed that there's often a part of the coaching process where the person just isn't seeing anything. You know, there's nothing that's changing. And I always talk about my metaphor is we've got some plants outside that grow, you know, the bulbs every year and they sprout. And And it's that same thing right now, this time of year, I'm not seeing anything. There's no motion. There's nothing that's happening. And so you could say, well, it's a failure. You know, nothing's going to happen. And then all of a sudden up it pops and suddenly the process is visible. That doesn't mean there wasn't a process before. It just isn't always clear to the outside observer or even the client. A lot of times we coaches can see that long before they do.
And if you think about it, the person that's upset or dissatisfied or feeling the disconnection has felt it for a long time, and they don't think anything will change. And so that's their mindset is nothing's going to change. And so change takes a while before you really see it in the other person. It doesn't happen overnight, just like the bulbs. It's going on. You just can't see it. So there's a time period before that change takes place.
Yeah. Yeah. And you, as you were talking there, I was sitting there thinking, you know, we really do have two groups of people. There are those who come to us and say, man, I was blindsided. I thought we were doing just fine. Or at least I thought maybe we were on pause. We were waiting for something else. And then you have those who say, yeah, we've been in trouble for years. I just wasn't paying attention. And now my spouse is upset. And generally, that's the classifications we see. So I'm wondering, given that, just kind of the categories, what do you think of as your ideal client? Who do you most love to work with?
Somebody that's very open and receptive and willing to be reflective, you know, but willing to look at something that's their part. And it's much harder if somebody's only saying, but my spouse did this and my spouse did that. But it's somebody that's at that point where they're saying, I want to know what I can do different. That's really the perfect client for me.
But which is a very interesting observation, because I've asked this with lots of, not just my coaches, I ask this with coaches all the time, who's your ideal client? And usually the response I get is the demographics, this age, you know, this stage, this crisis or this opportunity. And you're naming something that is about something that everybody has a choice about. Anybody can say, you know what, I'm going to be open in this process. I'm going to allow myself to be challenged. I'm not going to just play victim. I'm going to decide where I can step into that. And what I love about that answer is that it is 100% the client can choose that anytime, even if that's not been where they've been. We often see a lot of people who come into the process playing the blame game and trying to out-victim the other person. And you're talking about a shift that happens, and it may not even happen at the beginning of the process. When you first have a conversation with someone, they might not be quite there. But you're talking about something that each person can choose to do in that process. Is that fair?
That's right. And I always say, if you're ready, there's two reasons that change doesn't happen for me. They're not ready, or they don't know how. So if you decide you're ready, I'll show you how. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's your way, is I'll show you how.
Yeah. And I think that's a common piece for the coaches. We're waiting for somebody who's ready. If you're not ready, nothing is going to change it. Nothing's going to happen. And the ready part is often that shift away from, oh yeah, I'm ready, but it's about my spouse, to, oh yeah, I'm ready. And this is where I can dig in.
And the outcome will be so much different if you come in with that.
Absolutely. And so, Debbie, you and I have had many conversations over the years, and so I know that you're a wealth of knowledge. So let's pick your brain a little bit. What are the maybe two, three things that you think that every couple ought to know, that even one person in that couple ought to know that they don't? What are some nuggets of wisdom that you might share?
Remember how you started. You started with love. You started with caring about each other, with listening to each other. That's how you started. Now, what happens where you are right now is those are steps that can be taken to figure out how you got disconnected. Mm. So don't panic. Don't let fear take hold. And don't try to think of all these things that you're going to do, the actions you're going to do, out of fear. I think you just have to be in a really calm place. Like you always tell people, calm, and think of what's next and don't get caught up in all the stuff that's going on, because that's not the answer. The answers aren't in that. So if a person can come into this and think, make sense of it, and make sense of it by saying, okay, this is what happened, but we started out this other way. So let's figure out how to get back together. Let's figure out how to connect again, and keep the focus on that and the focus on improving yourself. Then that's what I would say.
So a piece of that, the remembering part, is not necessarily that you're going to go back to that as much as that's a heart warmer that starts the process of wanting to get to something different.
Because sometimes you can only remember what's happening now. Mm-hmm. That's the reason I try to remind them. But remember, you didn't start out that way.
Yeah.
Yes, it's not to just make them think, okay, that's what we're going back to. Because no, as I said earlier, we're going to work to create something different.
Yeah. So that you get that heartwarming process. And then after that, you're working to find the new ways, the better path to something else. So you highlighted a piece, and that something else is not about fear. Talk some more about how the fear sabotages the process.
The fear kind of takes over, and I always think we have these random thoughts that just pop in our head, and then we think they're factual. For instance, out of fear, like, I'm going to lose her forever, or he's never going to love me again, or we'll never have a conversation that's normal. We'll always just argue the rest of our lives. So the fear is just latching onto that thought. Mm-hmm. And that thought is just random. It's not fact, but we believe it is fact. And then the fear kind of takes hold. So we're coming from this place of trying to act out of fear with something that's not factual. And if you just take a step back, you take a deep breath and you remind yourself, okay, that's not really true. What's happening, what I'm thinking is happening. And you take a step back and say, what can I do? Instead of just reacting to that fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always love that acronym of fear, false evidence appearing real. Yeah. we think it's real. And part mm-hmm. of that is our thought process. And what you're highlighting is how often we just blindly believe what we think. If we think it, it must be so because we thought it. And that gives us a way more credit for thinking accurately than we would ever like to admit. And it certainly is true when you're responding out of hurt. And the hurt really does poison the relationships. So in that process, how do you help couples move through that fear and that hurt?
To get to the heart of it, of what it is, like you've talked about with hurt and anger, anger's the secondary emotion. So one way is to look at what it really means, loneliness, disappointment, despair, you know, what's really underneath mm-hmm. that is that's one way. The other way is to just figure out if the fear is caused by something that you're believing, then how do we look at that in another way? So it's really kind of taking that time to just look at it and say, what's that mean? And the third place to do that is, why do they want to save their marriage? What are the concrete reasons, not the fear-based reasons? Because they're going to need that to count on, because the times are not going to, I mean, this isn't going to happen overnight. This change isn't going to happen overnight. So what do they need to hold on to by saying, this is why I want to save my marriage? And they can always go back to that when they're struggling.
Yeah.
So those are the three pieces.
That's that thing I watch. The fear, when fear gets activated, it's a lot of energy, but not productive energy. It's frantic energy. And so the first thing that fear does is it makes us very unproductive. The second piece that I see that happens in those fear reasons to save is we eventually kind of get used to fear. You know, if you're in a fearful situation long enough, you normalize it and you're okay. And then suddenly you have no motivation. If the only things that have motivated you have been fear, they drop away and coaching gets really tough. So you're drawing on those deeper reasons like honoring commitment or wanting to show that you can do it differently than maybe the family you grew up in or whatever, maybe provide an intact family for kids. Those are all the kind of reasons that you're talking about. Is that right?
Exactly. Because we only had one model of how to do a marriage, which is our parents. Yeah. Most likely it's one.
Yeah.
And so we may have to change that model. That might not serve us. I tell people that a lot, is those models might not serve the two of you. We have to really do what's right for you. And I was thinking of the other tip that I, going back to what you asked me about, one of my tips is I always tell people, don't react. Just don't get yourself in that habit of reacting to everything. Get out of that habit. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things that I've often talked to people, you know, if they came from a bad marriage, you know, they saw their parents have a bad marriage, then they often say, well, I don't want to do that. And they often do the opposite, which is often not anywhere is, you know, that is no more healthy. It's just the opposite. And then if they had parents that had successful marriages, what they fail to notice is that the success of that marriage was probably in invisible things, things that they weren't privy to. They didn't know was going on. So either way, we don't have great models. Either they were good models that we didn't know what they were really, what the tricks they were doing, or we had bad models and we just don't want to do it that way, which leads us kind of in a no man's land because of the lack of instruction. So that to me is one of the priceless pieces of coaching, that the coach brings in some help in understanding the healthy ways of getting there and some maybe those underlying dynamics that can get you there. And I've heard from enough people to know that that's one of your gifts, that you're able to help them realize the healthier ways to pull forward rather than the places they've been stuck.
And that's really important to me, that they have a healthy relationship. You're right. That's always underlying everything for me, is how do we get them to really have a vibrant, thriving, where they're not just surviving, they're thriving, mm-hmm. and they're having a healthy relationship. And the models, too, if you stop and think about it, it's a different set of parents on both sides. So that wasn't going to work anyway, yeah. because it's completely different. So yeah. you have to find your own way of what works for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all of that is undergirded by some, you talked about this from the very beginning. What's your role as a coach is understanding their differences, you know, their perspective and understanding them as individuals. And yet basing that in some commonalities of what all good relationships share in common. It's kind of like we're in pain in a multitude of ways, but the path to get to somewhere better is tailored to that individual based on what we know works. And that's the skill set that you certainly bring to this. You have been working with my folks for years. From I think it's almost 7 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we're at eight.
So 8 years.
You're right.
Wow. Yep. Okay. Time flies when we're having fun.
I know.
So time flies regardless. So you have seen lots of people in that time, and you were already doing coaching before that. So you have a wealth of knowledge for people. And sometimes as people are listening, getting to know, something might click for them and they say, wow, that really resonates with me. There's something in there that resonates. And if that's the case, what would be the best way for them to contact you and just chat with you a little bit about what that would look like?
All they have to do is reach out to me at Debbie, D-E-B-B-I-E, at SaveTheMarriage.com.
Perfect. And Debbie, I want to thank you for a couple of things. One, of being here and sharing your knowledge with people who are listening. And also thank you for all of the work you've done to help marriages really around the world. And as a part of my team, how much you contribute to what we do. So I just want you to know how much you're appreciated. And I also want anyone listening to recognize how much power there can be in finding that outside source. And that if that's Debbie, if something resonated that Debbie said, this is a great way of stepping up and saying, you know what, I'm open, I'm ready for that change. Debbie can be working with you. So thank you, Debbie.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and just reach out to me and I'll help you.
We'll do it again. Thank you.
All right.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.